Well, my name is Brent Miller, and I have the privilege of serving on the leadership board. And normally when I'm up here, I'm translating somebody else's content from Spanish to English. But this morning, Josue had asked me earlier this summer if I would consider participating in this discipleship series. So I'm grateful to do that this morning. I thought I would be sharing some of my experience, not at all expecting to be as deeply impacted as I've been preparing for the message here today. And so today we are we're moving from into kind of a new part of our discipleship series that we're going through, the Be, Become, Do. And we're moving into the, and so I guess if you've missed the last few weeks, I kind of wanted to do a quick recap. Many of you are here, but the fall season gets a little busy. So if you've missed a week or so, we were in 4 weeks of the Be with Jesus session. And if you've missed that, that's what we were doing. And today we're going to be transitioning into the Be like Jesus. And then the message that you just saw on the screen, we're going to be focused on Romans chapter 12, which is about transformation, transforming the mind, renewing the mind. And in our first series, you know, Bruce shared, Caleb shared, Josue shared, Chino shared last week. And Bruce talked about abiding with Christ. It's really the central concept of discipleship, of being with Jesus. Caleb moved us into how as followers we need to desire that we want to know Christ deeply and as the best thing ever, as our highest goal. Josue went through the prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal son, and learning how there's rest for the weary as disciples and being with Jesus and taking delight in him. Last week, Chino unpacked the passage of Mary and Martha and how they prioritize their time and ultimately how to choose what's better. So today, we're going to be moving into that second segment of becoming like Jesus. And I know Josue shared some unconfessed old sins and Chino shared some parenting tips, but don't hold your breath for anything special, too deep and revealing for me today personally, unless God moves in the moment here. But so we're going to be moving now with those 4 weeks. We're going to be moving into that next session. Today we're talking about transformation of the mind, and then we'll be moving into putting on our new self and then having the mindset of Christ. Those are coming in some of the coming weeks, and I don't want to go into all 12 sessions, but the idea is that we're growing. There's a process of growth as we become disciples and mature as followers in him. And we're going to end up right by the end of November, ready for Christmas season. And it's almost like this was planned, right? State of the church through the fall. We got 12 series. And I say that kind of tongue in cheek. But I do want you all to know that there's a lot of thought, preparation, careful planning that goes into crafting a series like this for this body here. This isn't something that you go to Amazon or Costco and try to find a 12-pack series that we can drop in on a congregation. So there's a lot of effort in the pastors here, a lot of planning, understanding what the needs are for this body. And so just wanted to say thank you to the staff here and the pastor body, tailoring this series toward what we need here as a body at Calvary in Muscatine. And so they take those responsibilities of shepherding really seriously, and I'm thankful for that. So, man, that wasn't a very good intro to what we're talking about, but maybe it'd be a good time to pray right now and just ask God that to lead us as he's already been doing. Father, we just turn this time over to you. God, you've been working in my heart a lot, and I pray that as we move toward sharing these topic and moving into understanding what it's like to be transformed and what that means and how you want us to take and have the mind of Christ within us and be transformed, we pray, God, that you would touch our hearts, touch my heart, touch everyone here in the way that they need to open up and let a light shine into a specific area of their life, God, as we can all learn from you this morning, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm really excited, but I'm also nervous. I'm excited because there's things that I've been learning personally that I want to be able to share clearly this morning, but I'm nervous that at the end of the day, you'll all be like, well, I already knew that. There's nothing new here. And it just turns out it was for me. So I hope, though, that you know, the message, we're not here to be innovators, right? I'm just here to present. We're here every Sunday to present what the Bible says, and we pray that the word would speak to your heart and right into your life. So we're going to be speaking about the mind this morning and its important role in the process of becoming like Jesus. So what does the mind have to do with reality, right? It's just, it's an internal feeling. It's not real, right? You may have seen Christian books or publications along the topic with the publication title like The Mind is the Battlefield of Christian Discipleship or something along the line, the battlefield concept. And I think that's a good start because our mind is where we understand our identity. It's the processing of information, how we relate both internally understanding God and how we relate to the world. It drives our behavior and kind of helps us process our experience. So I may be dating myself here a little bit, but I used to love one particular old computer game when I was young, and I didn't have a lot of access to computer games. But one of our family friends had something that I really looked forward to when we visited their house, besides their pool. This was the thing that I enjoyed the most, and it was this game, I think, on the screen here. Does anyone remember this game? Not this game. This is playing a game on a Commodore 64, something like that. Does anyone remember those Commodore 64 days? Well, anyway, that was what it was. It was like that. It was a floppy disk, and we played Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? Now, this was the computer game. Later, the PBS really kind of publicized it and popularized it in the 90s. This was 80s and 90s time, so you can kind of see the technology there. But in any case, I loved playing that game for a lot of the facts that it brought along with it. But also, I loved to beat the levels, gain the badges, and grow and all that. But at one point, I found that our host had a little cheat sheet over here on the side that had cheat codes. If you type them in, man, you really could beat the game pretty fast. It gives you the inside track, inside knowledge on how to play the game. Well, that's not really play. It's not really fair because it gives you an accelerated end to winning the game, to beating the game. And in general, these cheat codes, a lot of these older games, allow you to have special powers, you know, invisibility or strength or things like that. And I don't know if today's video games, maybe look over here, do they still use cheat codes today? Somebody gives me a thumbs up. Okay, yeah. So the idea is we have an inside track to understand how to be successful at the game. And so today I thought about the cheat code, so to speak, that Paul has left for us here in the book of Romans. He gives us this primary shortcut to achieve really a foundational element of being a disciple of Jesus, which is a transformed life. So let's look together and read what we just saw in that video, Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Now, there's a lot that can be unpacked there in just those two verses in Romans 12, and many of you have already done Bible studies and really dug deep into those, even those two verses. But for the sake of today's topic and understanding transformation in our mind, we're going to focus just on kind of that first half of verse 2. And there's really two important calls that I wanted to bring forth here this morning about having the mind of Christ and about being transformed. And I mean, full disclosure, I'm an engineer. I like to break things down in a logical, progressive way. I couldn't do like Jacob's one point simple, just hit it home. I'm not as trained in the ways of doing this. So I'm going to be talking about what is our call. I'm going to talk about why it's there. Why do we have this call? How do we go about achieving it? And then at the end of the day, really the implications of what would this look like, kind of dreaming together of what this looks like. So number one, we saw, Paul said, do not be conformed to the world. Now it's number one. And number two is be transformed. And he tells us how to do that. He says it by the renewing of your mind. So that begs the question, what does it mean to be conformed? And I'll spare you the lexicon study that I kind of try to dig into. What is the Greek word? What's the original language? What is the meaning of the word conformed? And it really has to do with being outwardly shaped, formed, taking on a shape of something else on the outside, and like being pressed into a mold. And in this case, the mold of the culture or the pattern of the world, as Paul puts it. And I guess to be clear, the world in this context is the value system, the thought patterns, emotional reflexes, and responses of our current day and age today. But it was then as well. And this, throughout all of history, there's always a present age. This is something that's kind of inherent. Now, this is not the word world that Jesus came to die for, the people in the world. We're talking about the value systems of the world. So the call is, don't be conformed to that. Do not be conformed to the world. And in the cultural context here in Rome, in the Roman believers lived an environment that was trying to squeeze them into accepting the local pagan values, the ways of thinking, behaviors. So Paul says, don't be conformed to that. The outside culture and world, even today, is so powerful, right? And it's been shaping us, continues to shape us in some way, so long we don't even recognize its power on shaping us and making us look and feel a certain way. Shaping us to be fearful, selfish, greedy, self-seeking, performance-driven, prideful. Oh man, I can go on and on. The ways of thinking, those ways of thinking make it really difficult for us to hear God's voice. We can't become like Jesus as a disciple to become like Jesus. We can't if we can't hear his voice. And we can't hear his voice if we're just tuning into the wrong frequencies and focusing on being pressed into the wrong mold. In our backyard, here's another image. I took this picture earlier this week as I thought about what's an example of being conformed. Here's our back tree. This thing just grew into, you've seen these before, if you can see it embedded in there. It's an old fence post. The tree just kept moving and growing year over year, absorbing and conforming around the fence post, taking on the shape and the form there. Maybe that's not a great example, but I'm sure many of you might remember your Iowa history days, or maybe as you went and visited the Arch in St. Louis, there's a museum down below perusing. I don't know if you came across this image. This is Lewis and Clark on their travels here in the Midwest. They found that there was I forget which of the tribes of the Native Americans that would actually shape, literally, their children's foreheads to be pressed and kind of have a slope and flat forehead. I think, if I remember right, it was because it was more attractive. But that was how a lot of the adults looked. But you have to do this before the kids, like a year old, because the skull is still formable. So they would literally put them in like a board, and that was how they did it. This be conformed. That's being shaped. That's literally, maybe they were advanced. I'm shaping the mind, but that's not what Paul had in mind, I don't think. But that is an example of being conformed. And, you know, in any case, we can think about that. I think practically, as you open up your hearts here and think about what does it mean to have taken on the shape of the world, to have being conformed. Maybe when we align our priorities with the world's priorities, or our values align more with our culture or our political party than what they do with what Jesus taught us and about the ethics of his kingdom. And this isn't just a one-off thing, you know, Romans 12, be conformed, be transformed. This comes throughout the whole New Testament, Paul and other writers. I'll just, if you're taking one of the note takers, I'll just throw a bunch of references at you here, and you can kind of talk them, look at them later, because this is where this kind of came to light for me. In Galatians 5, Paul says, those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its desires, you know, taken, undone the form. Ephesians 4, he says, don't walk in the futility of the world's mind. Colossians, he says, to put off your old self. And other New Testament leaders in James, he tells us that friendship with the world, that shape of the world, means enmity or opposition with God. John tells us blankly, point blank, do not love the world. Peter says, don't be conformed to the world and the former passions of the world. Jesus, at the beginning, I should have started with him, he even taught his disciples, and he told them, take up your cross, die to yourself, in your worldly shape, shape like the world, and lose your life. So it's a pretty consistent message in the New Testament of what it means to be a disciple, is to be not be conformed, but transformed. And so if we think about that now, moving to that second part of that call, transformed, another Greek word there, it talks about, it has a meaning of an inner change. This is not just about looking and feeling and having the shape of something good instead of something bad. This is about literally being changed from the inside, like a metamorphosis, which ironically is kind of that Greek word. It's like that. It's the same word, ironically, that Jesus has used to refer to his transfiguration when he was changed, and it's the word that we understand today. You can see it when a green caterpillar changes to a butterfly. I think monarch, right? Is that one of those? Anyway, literally, from the inside out, there's a change. There's a change that happens. It's not a cosmetic thing that happens. So you can see that transformation is not a matter of just touching up and putting makeup on and reshaping how your life looks on the outside. But it can really only happen through an inner change. Can you imagine if that green caterpillar would dress up or touch itself up and try to look like a butterfly? There's no way it's going to fly, right? It hasn't really been changed. Just to be clear, I'm not talking about changing and taking on your point of salvation. That happened in an instant where you were saved. What I'm talking about here is your transformation as a disciple, somebody who wants to follow Christ, to be with him, to be like him, and ultimately to reproduce and to be like him and do the things that he did. So just to be clear there. And Paul tells us that the real way to transformation, he gives us the cheat code, he says, is by the renewing of your mind, by learning to see reality for what it really is, by replacing your old conformed, your old molded patterns of thinking and exchanging them instead for a new way and his way of thinking. And when we renew our minds, we end up with the mind of Christ. And we'll see that that's a pretty a concept that's throughout the whole New Testament here. This allows us to see things with like spiritual glasses on. As you are formed, you can see the same set of facts and reality, but with a new mind, you interpret them differently. So the renewal of the mind is not just about generating new thoughts, not just about being able to, you know, think happy thoughts. That's not what we're talking about here. It's a new way of thinking that comes from the inside. Your mind is your foundational engine, again, of understanding who you are at the core, and it needs to be rewired from where you were pressed into the mold and the model of the world. It needs to be rewired. We need to have a new way of thinking, and that's about what we're talking about, renewing your mind. It all needs to be rewired to understand your new and your true identity of being a child of God and really a disciple of Jesus, is following him. So this call is to be transformed at the most deepest level of who you are. It changes your motivations. It changes your behavior. And we do this by renewing our mind. So again, here's a little warning. In the same way, though, that we can take on the shape of the world, you know, the shape of the world and its culture, that's kind of easy to see. We also, there's a warning that we take on good shape as well, you know, we know what it's like to be a Christian, to have the appearance, but if that's just taking on the shape alone, you're going to be deceived. Think about what Jesus taught the Pharisees. That's they had an incongruence between what they said, what they preached, and what was inside their hearts versus how they actually taught. He called them a brood of vipers. Pretty dangerous situation. So let's keep that in mind. There's pitfalls to both sides, and so that's why I really want to focus this morning on something authentic. If you, even this summer, you see, you know, tomatoes you might grow in your yard, your own garden, versus the ones you buy in the store, you know, those nice, perfect, no blemishes, kind of nice there, but you look over here and the ones that you grew are kind of gnarly often. Sometimes you get some nice ones, but at the end of the day, you cut into those fresh ones and man, they're so good. They're juicy. They're full of flavor versus these ones that look nice in the store and sometimes they're hard and they don't really have much flavor. So think about that. The authentic nature of something that comes from within is the way to go. So I guess let's get into the why. Let's think about the why. What's in it for me? Why would I want to change something that comes so natural for me? Wouldn't it be just easier to kind of go with what feels right? Do you? God save me as I am, right? So why would I need to change? Do we need to do this just because Paul and some of the other New Testament writers told us, you know, change your way of thinking, take on the mind of Christ? Well, let's kind of recall, what's our motivation here? We're a disciple of Jesus. We want to be with him, to be like him, to do the things he did. Transformation is not about just doing the right things, like I said, having that shape of what looks right, but it's about becoming the kind of person who desires from the inside and chooses what God desires. Having a renewed mind that grows in wisdom and in alignment with God's purposes. Again, in Colossians, Paul talks about this. He talks about growing in the knowledge of his will and increasing in our knowledge of God. This is that process of maturity, growing. This is pleasing to God. We want to bear fruit, and we want to grow in our knowledge of him. I don't want to steal the thunder from the next Sundays coming up. As we'll be speaking more and more about this topic of becoming like Jesus. But a simple cross-reference, if you want to do this on your own, you'll understand that a renewed mind impacts a disciple of Jesus very deeply. I'll just kind of list, again, a whole bunch of references here that you can maybe look into. But this is where it was kind of new for me. I hadn't realized that there's so many different areas that the New Testament writers talk about the mind and thinking. Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above. We need to have a heavenly mindset. Set your minds. You didn't set your hearts or set your behavior and be like, you know, like what you're supposed to be. Ephesians 4:32, we are supposed to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, of your mind. 1 Peter, have the same way of thinking as Christ did. Think like him. Doesn't say behave like him necessarily yet. Hebrews 12:2, we want to think like him because for the joy set before him, he willingly went to the cross. So he had a certain way of thinking. He had a certain motivation. Romans, earlier before this passage in chapter 12, Paul talks a lot about the mind. Romans in chapter 8, he says, set your mind on the spirit, not on the flesh, because the spirit, there's life and there's peace. But the mind of the flesh, it can't even submit to God or please him. It's useless. It's futile. That's in the chapter 1, we learned that, about our unrenewed, unregenerate mind can't please God. So the mind is super important. Philippians 3, we talk about mature thinking. That's, again, that's about growing, constant growth and spending time with God. 1 Corinthians 2 and Philippians 2 and Romans 15 all talk about having the mind of Christ. Even the Old Testament, David asked God to change my heart, create in me a clean heart. He desired a spirit that was aligned and oriented to God. It's from within. So I think the call is clear. The why is clear, to be transformed. We can understand the why, and we can actually desire that. We can desire it in our hearts. But how? That's the big question, right? How do we go about this? How do we go about renewing and rewiring, relearning things in our mind that can support that transformation that we're called to? In today's, business world of the church, you hear a lot of buzzwords, spiritual buzzwords. At the end of the day, we want to know how, right? That's what I wanted to share this morning. How do we go about being transformed? How do we go about renewing the mind? So, and I say the initial step of this how is to recognize that it doesn't happen accidentally. There's no accidental nature here. Our nature, natural tendencies are self-seeking, so transformation of the mind needs to be an active and a purposeful process to being formed into his image and having the mind of Christ. We need to learn how to change If we're so content to stay how we are and we're not willing to change, then we need to adjust. You need to unwire and rewire a few things in your spiritual mind. How to be a disciple, because a disciple at the end of the day is about change. It's about following someone else, not yourself. So we need to learn how to change. And I'd like to go through some practical ways that we can go about doing that, recognizing that we're all on our own walk with God. So what I say, the list of things that I'll just throw out here this morning, it might be more applicable a year ago, or might be applicable for where you're at right now versus the person beside you. So allow God to speak and feel what he has for you and how we can help to rewire our hearts in our minds as they're being renewed. I guess number one, I shouldn't say number one, item number one, not necessarily in any order, spend time with Jesus. Time. Being a disciple is a process, a journey of a lifetime. It's a process of maturity. Just like the seed videos that we've been watching, that seed doesn't grow in a day. There's a process. It turns into a plant. It gets nurtured. It grows. It's a process. Our body is just like our bodies. We mature from processing milk, desiring meat. Yeah, lots of meat. And more complex carbohydrates and how we actually, you know, function chemically and biologically. Our minds also develop spiritually. We shouldn't be staying in the same spot that we were. Now, that doesn't mean that just something that just happens to us. We sit around and, you know, hope that we grow. We need to be proactively seeking time with him. That's to be with Jesus. We spoke the last 4 weeks about that. So if you're not spending time with him, or today in this service, this morning is really the only time that you can feel spending with God and connecting with him, then I'd encourage you just to start small, spending more time, allowing yourself to be with him, just as we've been talking about these last 4 weeks. Maybe you've made a decision years ago to follow Christ, but you haven't really experienced any growth. That's a frustrating process, right? Maybe that's how Paul describes being spiritually immature and just need to grow. That's the idea. Start by spending time with Christ. Slow down. Just pause. Spend time with him. That's number one. Number two, the second item I'll say, is expose yourself to the truth of his word. This might just be reading the Bible, reading, meditating on his word, on the scriptures, or other teaching, somebody that you trust to kind of expound more on the word, but expose yourself to the truth of his word. We're told that the word will not return void. If it goes out, you're hearing it this morning, I pray that God is going to use it this morning, the truth of his word. Again, another warning is that this is not the same as just accumulating knowledge. Exposing yourself to the word, those are good things, memorizing, reading, learning, discussing. But knowledge on its own, just having a nice repository of information, it's insufficient for any sort of meaningful transformation. Unless knowledge leads to action, it's kind of limited in value, I think. God's word is sharp and active. It's precise. It can go and put its finger right on an area in your life that you need. So expose yourself to the truth of his word. Another one is in community. We talk a lot about that here. Discipleship is relational and shouldn't lead to isolation. We do this in community. Transformation can happen. It does happen in a shared worship, like we're doing here together. We worship together and we have accountability together. It's like Jonathan mentioned earlier. If your mind is the battlefield, then I think the church community that we have here is like our training ground. We can mutually work together. This is the practice field. Let's work together to grow and to learn to be kingdom thinkers and participants, thinkers and participants. Again, this is not just about gathering more knowledge together as the Spirit transforms us from the inside. And we'll see that coming up here pretty soon. It's the Spirit that does the transforming. Another area is the spiritual practices that help to rewire and renew our minds. We have a lot of tools that we go over throughout the last few years. If you remember the how long ago was that? The Unforced Rhythms of Grace. We went through a number of those. I hope those were helpful to you, and they could be helpful to review again. But we talked about those rhythms of spiritual disciplines of worship, hospitality, confession, service, solitude and simplicity, and community, and that kind of thing. I would encourage you just to review that. But we have to unlearn those embedded values that were in our heart for so long when we took on and have parts shaped like the world. We need to turn our hearts toward being kingdom thinkers and the values of his kingdom. You know, we often focus on repenting, turning away, same kind of the same concept, repent, turn away from our initial sins when we come to Jesus, come to Christ and ask him to forgive our sins. But we often don't think about turning away or repenting from that same world mindset that is just kind of, it's kind of hidden inside of us. We don't think about it because it's just been with us for so long. We need to also, I think, repent from that way of thinking and turn to Jesus's mindset of humility and justice and servanthood. You know, have this mind in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Another one is the other anchor of our passages this morning is 2 Corinthians 3:18 on the screen. It says, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, which is Spirit." Now, there's a lot of different ways that that word contemplate is translated. If you remember in the King James Version, it talks about like seeing through a glass, and other versions talk about looking, like basically it's looking intently at something. And we see here that it's when we have our spiritual gaze on Christ, fixed on Christ, we reflect, meditate, contemplate with focused attention on him. So that's our part. The second part, as you can see, is from the Lord. The Spirit is the one who does the being transformed part. As you can see, all of these ideas that we just went through for renewing your mind, I hope they're practical for you. They're not just buzzwords, but they're practical things that you can actually do, spending time, exposing yourself to the word, being in community, practicing these spiritual disciplines. It's an active process. Paul uses this language of active process of like training as an athlete in somewhere, I forget where it is, but I think throughout, beating your body, training your body. This is an active process. He also uses imagery of a soldier. And in spiritual warfare, we have weapons that you have to put on. Some of those weapons are defensive and some are offensive. And I think there's something to be had there as well. So, but there's an active process. Part of that, again, is the cheat code of renewing your mind, putting on these things, being an active participant in renewing your mind. But as you can see in the final passage that we just had there in 2 Corinthians, it's God through his Spirit that actually does the transforming. We are being transformed, and that's from the Lord. There's a lot of tensions like this that we see in the Bible, these tensions of God's part, our part. We're called to be an active participant, willing participant to present our bodies, to renew our minds, but we can't transform ourselves. It's the Spirit of God that's working within us to do that. So there's that tension on his part, our part, and you're going to find that throughout the whole New Testament, the whole Bible, so I guess get used to that tension and process a lot of those things. So there's a part that we have here, and that's kind of what I wanted to focus on. We might know a lot of the tools to kind of start on this process of mind renewing. Like we just went over a lot of the tools, a lot of practical things that we can do, but what does it look like? What would it look like if you have a renewed mind? You have the mind of Christ. What did Jesus talk about if his disciples were more transformed than conformed? You know, a transformed life is not this spiritualized version of floating around like a disembodied spirit that is only a spiritual being. Jesus said that he came to give us life and to have life to the full. This is a real life, the life that we're living here, a life that's full of value, worth, and meaning. Jesus described a lot about what his kingdom looks like, his the kingdom ethics, what believers who are in his kingdom, where God is the king, what that looks like. He talked about having even social values that are reversed. They're upside down. The last is the first. The humble are exalted. The poor are blessed. His kingdom has paradoxical values. They look like they're kind of backwards from what they should be. But as our minds and our are renewed, our spirits are transformed, it becomes natural for us because we're part of his kingdom. Strength, weakness is strength. Serving is greatness. Dying is living. It's so reversed from our normal human expectations about what power is, what greatness is, and what blessing really means. The early church really understood this because Paul taught it. He said, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it as Christ. When you're more transformed and conformed, when you look at life through a new set of eyes, new set of spiritual glasses and understanding and processing the reality, everything is spiritual because there are no real non-spiritual elements in our life if we're transformed from within. You know, we're a special creation and throughout all of the universe that has this ability that God has made us in his image and the ability to fuse the spiritual and the material thing that we see here. This affects everything. This affects how we handle our money, how we handle relationships, sexuality, forgiveness, and we live with kingdom values, with his ethic. Many of you might be familiar with these coffee table books that something that's called like the Magic Eye 3D art. I had an image I just grabbed online. You ever seen these things? You might know. It's when your eyes, when you look at it, your eyes are relaxed just enough. You're looking at it and you allow to float in this kind of, I don't even know how to do it exactly, but you're oriented in such a way that the page that looks like random pixels, kind of like that, randomness suddenly forms this incredible 3D realistic image that it kind of just woof, comes right out of the page in chaos. Here's another rendering of what you might, if you haven't seen it, you can, when you look at the left image, is what you see, but ultimately what's behind it is more of whatever that is, but it's an image. It's very clear, and there's some really cool ones that just like, wow, you're right in the midst of it, and it's so cool, crisp, clear, but then the harder you look at it, the more you press into it, it suddenly you lose its clarity. You know it's just there right below the surface, but you don't see it again. And that's really how it's been for me in my journey these last weeks and months and thinking about this transformation where some things are so clear to me, things click. And then just like Peter walking on the water, his eyes and gaze was on Jesus, but when he took his eyes off, lost focus, he started sinking. So let's just pray. If that happens for you, pray that God brings things into focus, number one. Latch on. If he's showing you something, follow his leading in that area of growth for you. Lean into it. Hang on to that. So we know that being transformed leads to action, you know, that leads to fruit, having an abundant life. We have a clear vision of the kingdom of God and what it means to have, to be a part of that, have an abundant life that comes from him. I'll just ask the worship team, Shelby, everyone to kind of make their way back up here. But you might be asking yourself, how do I know if I'm being transformed or conformed? What does that actually look like? How do I measure it? That's an interesting question. How do I know if the kingdom's values are more weighty than the world's values in my life? Well, Jesus told his disciples that the hallmark of being his disciple was through their love. You're going to be known by your love. So let's keep it simple. Love is the litmus test for knowing how you're being formed, how you're maturing, how you're growing. Are you more loving now than a week, month, a year ago? You can think about that in your life. Loving your brothers and sisters more, loving your neighbor more, loving God more. I'm trying to wrap this up here, but my eyes are still seeing kind of that 3D image, and I just want it to be, I want it to be clear, I want it to be meaningful, and I want to recap, so just kind of set the stage for the coming weeks, and so you can come back and continue to hear this process of being like Jesus. But we know that we're being formed by something. We can't, we're not neutral beings. We're formed by something. So we're called to be transformed. Number one, we're called to be transformed. And we know we do this by the renewing of our minds. This is required in order to see things with what I'll call kingdom glasses. You know, having that mind of Christ. We do that through spending time with Christ, spending time in his word, in spiritual training, disciplines, active engagement, in community, and overall just fixing our eyes on Christ, allowing his image to be imprinted on us, all of this in cooperation with the Spirit, who's the one that's actually doing the transforming. This will obviously, this is going to drive our behavior, drive our actions, so that the shape that we're taking on is not forced from the outside, but it's something that's coming from the inside. And you can see your growth. I mean, I think this is a good process for reflection in your own life. Take times to look into your own life and see, how am I growing? Am I growing? And if not, start renewing and focusing in your mind. I hope this has been a helpful review. Like I said, probably you already know a lot of these things, but just hope that the message this morning is both simultaneously challenging, but also encouraging. You know, God is for us. He loves us. He loves you more than anyone can. And he wants to transform us into his image so that we can share with others the light that's come into this darkness. Man, that's great news. Let's just take a time. If God's been speaking into your heart this morning, let's just bow our heads and take a moment to think about if there's ways that you've been conforming in your own heart, inside in your mind, conforming to the world's values. And God's showing that to you right now. We just invite you, as I pray, that you just stop. Repent from that area. Repent. Renew your mind. Rewire it in how you should be thinking about things. Be transformed. God, thank you that you are the one that we're following. We just know that you want to put your mind in us so we can think like you, having from within transformation that's genuine and authentic, that drives our behaviors, our thoughts, and our actions. And we just pray for those areas, God, that you've been pressing on into different people's hearts this morning. God, you would give them the courage to respond to you in a way that they can practically take steps to renew their minds in the areas that you're showing them right now. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.